591. Monday night before Passover. Teachings to the Apostles at Gethsemane. 6th March 1945. In the evening, Jesus is still in the olive grove, and he is with his apostles, and he speaks again.
And another day has gone by. Now it is nighttime, and then tomorrow, and then the day after tomorrow, and then the Passover supper.
Where are we having it, my Lord? The women also will be there this year, asks Philip.
And we have not made any arrangement yet, and the town is full beyond measure. The whole of Israel, including even the remotest proselyte, seems to have come to the rite,
says Bartholomew. Jesus looks at him, and, as if he were reciting a psalm, he says,
Gather together, make haste, come from everywhere to my victim whom I am immolating for you, to the great victim immolated on the mountains of Israel, to eat its flesh, to drink its blood.
But which victim? Which? You look like one suffering from a fixed mad idea. You speak of nothing but death, and you grieve us,
says Bartholomew passionately. Jesus looks at him again, diverting his attention from Simon, who bends over James of Alphaeus and Peter chatting with them, and he says,
What? Are you asking me? You are not one of these little ones, who to be learned, must receive the septiform light. You were already expert in the scriptures, before I called you by means of Philip, that mild spring morning, my springtime. And yet, you ask me which is the victim immolated on the mountains, the one to which everybody will come to feed on? And you say that I am mad with a fixed idea, because I speak of death? Oh, Bart, like the cry of the watchman, in your darkness, that never opened to light, I uttered the announcing cry once, twice, three times. But you never wanted to understand. You suffered at the moment because of it. Then, like children, you soon forgot the words of death and you joyfully went back to your work, sure of yourselves and full of hope that your words and mine would convince the world more and more to follow and love its Redeemer. No. Only after the earth has sinned against me, and bear in mind that these are words of the Lord to his prophet, only afterwards, the people, and not only this one in particular, but the great people of Adam, will begin to moan saying, Let us go to the Lord. He who hurt us, will cure us. And the world of the redeemed will say after 2 days, that is, two periods of eternity, during which he will have left us at the mercy of the enemy, who will have struck and killed us with all kinds of weapons, as we struck the Holy One and killed him, and we strike and kill him, because there will always be the race of Cain who with blasphemy and evil deeds will kill the Son of God, the Redeemer, shooting mortal arrows not at his eternal glorified person, but at their souls ransomed by him. Killing them, and therefore killing him through their souls, only after these 2 periods the third day will come, and we shall rise from the dead in his presence in the kingdom of Christ on the earth and we shall live before him in the triumph of the Spirit. We shall know him, we shall learn to know the Lord to be ready, by means of this true knowledge of God, to fight the last battle that Lucifer will join with man before the blast of the angel of the seventh trumpet. That will open the blissful chorus of the saints of God, with the number perfected forever, it will never be possible to add either the youngest baby, or the oldest man to the number, the chorus that will sing the poor kingdom of the earth is over. The world with all its inhabitants has been passed in review before the conquering judge. And the elect are now in the hands of our Lord, and of his Christ, and he is our King forever. Praised be the Almighty Lord God who is, who was and who will be, because he has taken his great power, and has entered into possession of his kingdom. Oh, who among you will be able to remember the words of this prophecy, already resounding in the words of Daniel, in a muted tone, and now roared by the voice of the wise one before the astounded world and before you, who are more astounded than the world? The coming of the King, the world will continue, moaning in its wounds and enclosed in its sepulcher, evil in life and wicked in death, closed by its sevenfold vice, and by its infinite heresies, the agonizing spirit of the world closed with its last efforts within the organism, having died of leprosy, because of all its errors, the coming of the King, is prepared like that of dawn, and will come to us like the rain in springtime and in autumn. Dawn is preceded and prepared by night. This is the night. The present one. And what must I do for you, Ephraim? What must I do for you, Judah? Simon, Bart, Judas, and you, my cousins, you who are more experienced in the book, do you recognize these words? They do not come from a mad spirit, but from one who possesses wisdom and science. Like a king who calmly opens his coffers, because he knows where a certain gem is, which he is looking for, as he put it in there himself, I quote the prophets. I am the Word. For ages I spoke through human lips, and for ages I will speak through human lips. But all the supernatural that has been spoken is my Word. Even the most learned and holy man would not be able to rise, with the soul of an eagle, beyond the limits of the blind world, to snatch and utter the eternal mysteries. The future is present only in the divine mind. Foolish are those who claim to make prophecies and revelations, without being supported by our will. And God soon gives them the lie and strikes them, because only one can say I am, and say I see, and say I know. But when a will, that is not to be measured, that is not to be judged, that is to be accepted, with bowed head, without discussion, saying here I am, when such will says come, rise, hear, see, repeat, then the soul, immersed in the eternal presence of its God, called by the Lord to be voice, sees and trembles, sees and weeps, sees, and rejoices, then the soul, called by the Lord to be word, hears, and, thrown into ecstasy, or into the perspiration of agony, says the tremendous words of the eternal God. Because every word of God is tremendous, as it comes from him whose verdict is immutable, and whose justice is inexorable, and is addressed to men, too few of whom deserve love and blessings instead of anathema and conviction. Now this word, that is spoken and despised, is it not the cause of dreadful sin and punishment for those who reject it, after hearing it? It is. And what else must I do for you, O Ephraim, O Judah, O world, that I have not done for you? I came loving you, O my earth, and my word became a sword for you, and it kills you, because you loathed it. O world, who kill your Savior thinking that you are doing a just thing, you are so possessed by Satan that you do not understand anymore which is the sacrifice that God exacts, the sacrifice of one sin, and not of an animal immolated and consumed with a foul soul. But what have I told you these last 3 years? What did I preach? I said no God in his laws, and in his nature, and I dried out, like a vase of porous clay exposed to the sun, spreading the vital knowledge of the law, and of God among you. And you have continued to offer holocausts, without ever offering the only necessary one, the immolation of your evil will to the true God. Now the eternal God says to you, city of sin, faithless people, and in the hour of the judgment you will be lashed with a whip that will not be used for Rome and Athens, dull-witted towns that know neither language nor science, but which, when from eternal infants badly looked after by their nurses, and being beast-like in their capabilities, will pass into the holy arms of my church, my only sublime spouse, by whom numberless children will be born to me worthy of the Christ, they will become adult and capable, and will give me palaces and armies, temples, and saints to people, he, even as if they were stars. Now the eternal God says to you, I no longer like you and I will not accept any gift from your hands. It is like dung to me, and I will throw it back on your faces, and it will stick to them. I loathe your silly amenities which are nothing but outward appearances. I will abolish my covenant with the stock of Aaron and I will give it to the sons of Levi because, here, this is my Levi, and with him, I made a covenant of life and peace to last forever, and he was faithful to me to the end of time, to the point of sacrifice. He had the holy fear of the Father and he trembled with wrath, feeling offended at the mere sound of my offended name. He spoke the law of truth, and there was no iniquity on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and he deterred many from sin. The time has come when the pure immaculate host, pleasing to the Lord, will be sacrificed and offered to my name everywhere, and no longer on the soul altar of Zion, because you do not deserve to offer it. Do you recognize the eternal words?
We recognize them, O Lord. And, believe us, we are depressed, as if we had been struck. Is it not possible to deviate from our destiny?
Do you call it destiny, Bart?
I do not know what other name.
Atonement. That is the name. You do not offend the Lord, without making amends for the offense. And God the Creator was offended by the first man created. Since then the offense has increased more and more. And neither the water of the deluge, nor the fire that rained on Sodom and Gomorrah helped to make man holy. Neither the water nor the fire. The earth is a boundless Sodom in which Lucifer walks freely and as a king. So let a trinity come to wash it the fire of love, the water of sorrow, the blood of the victim. That is, O Earth, my gift. I have come to give you it. And should I now evade its accomplishment? It is Passover. It is not possible to evade it.
Why do you not go to Lazarus's? You would not be fleeing, but you would not be touched there.
Simon is right. I beg you, Lord, do that.
Shouts Judas Iscariot, throwing himself at Jesus' feet. At his gesture, John begins to shed bitter tears, and also his cousins and James and Andrew weep, although they are more composed in their grief.
Do you believe that I am the Lord? Look at me.
And Jesus pierces with his eyes the Iscariot's anguished face. Because he is really distressed, he is not feigning. Perhaps it is the last struggle of his soul with Satan, and he does not succeed in winning. Jesus studies him, and follows his struggle as a man of science might study the crisis of a sick person. Then he springs to his feet, and so vehemently that Judas, who was leaning on his knees, is pushed back and falls sitting on the ground. Jesus even draws back, looking upset, and he says to have Lazarus arrested as well? So, a double prey and double joy. No. Lazarus is kept for the future Christ, for the triumphant Christ. Only one will be cast beyond life, and will not come back. I will come back. But he will not. But Lazarus is staying. You, who know so many things, know also that. But those who hope to have double profit capturing the eagle and the eaglet, in their nest and without difficulty, can be sure that the eagle has eyes for everybody, and that out of love for her little one she will go far from the nest, to be captured alone, thus saving it. I am killed by hatred, and yet I continue to love. Go. I am staying here to pray. Never, as in this hour that I am living, have I felt the need to raise my soul to heaven.
Let me stay with you, Lord,
implores John.
No. You all need a rest. Go.
Are you remaining all alone? And if they should harm you? You seem to be suffering too. I am staying,
says Peter.
You will go with the others. Allow me to forget men for 1 hour. Let me be in touch with the angels of my father. They will replace my mother, who is wasting away with tears and prayer, and whom I cannot overburden with my desolate grief. Go.
Are you not going to wish us peace? Ask his cousin Judas.
You are right. May the peace of the Lord rest upon those who are not disgraceful in his eyes. Goodbye.
And climbing a terrace, he enters among the densely growing olive trees.
And yet what he says is really in the scripture. And when one hears it from him, one understands why and for whom it is said.
Whispers Bartholomew.
I told Peter in the autumn of the first year,
says Simon. That is true, but, no. While I live, I will not let him be captured. Tomorrow, says Peter.
What are you going to do tomorrow?
Asks the Iscariot.
What am I going to do? I am speaking to myself. These are days of conspiracies. Not even to the air will I confide my thoughts. And you, who are powerful, you have said so many times, why do you not seek protection for Jesus?
I will, Peter. I will. But do not be surprised if now and again I am absent. I am working for him. But don't tell him.
Be sure of that. And may you be blessed. At times I have distrusted you, but I apologize to you. I see that at the right moment you are better than we are. You act. I can only speak empty words,
says Peter humbly and sincerely. And Judas laughs, being pleased with the praise. They depart from Gethsemane going towards the road that leads to Jerusalem.